A new week begins. You try to look at the week with a smile on your face, and then you open up Google News. Welcome to Ask an Atheist, 206-420-0997. That is our voicemail line, but that is also our live call-in line. Feel free to give us a call and give us some good news, because we don't have much this week, man, the news is important.
Oh, yeah.
How you doing, Dave?
I'm pretty good. I've been reading news all week, so it's been a depressing week.
Oh, jeez.
I've been putting all this stuff together.
If Dave gets depressed, all is lost.
During a World Cup, even.
During the World Cup, even. How you doing, Mike?
Doing pretty good. I don't care about the World Cup. I did notice, though, that the logo for the World Cup looks like somebody doing a facepalm.
Yeah, it does.
Somebody actually put together the Picard facepalm next to the World Cup logo. It says, "You took my Luke."
Oh, jeez. So I heard there was one game that was an utter trouncing.
Oh, yeah. Spain got killed 5-1 by the Netherlands, which it was a rematch of the last final of the 2010 final, and they're two good teams, but Spain is the number one team in the world. They should not be stomped on like that.
I'd like to see it because it's an edge case, but to be honest with you, I'm a little sorry that I brought that up, because I mean, professionally, that would have been a good segue into our first news story, but it's just macabre as all get out. So I'm just gonna I didn't mean to do this.
Erase it.
Over 200 cases of whooping cough have been reported in the last 2 weeks in the state of California. The California Health Department calls it a problem of epidemic proportions, with almost 3,500 cases reported so far this year. The number of cases is likely much higher as well, since only 1 in 10 cases are usually reported. California has large clusters of parents who refuse to vaccinate their children. Thank you, anti-vaxxers! Thanks a bunch! Seriously.
Yeah.
There's this argument that I heard about let's grant that there was actually a problem with vaccines and they caused autism. For argument's sake, let's pretend that were actually true. Is that still worse than death?
Yeah.
Like, if your kids got autism from vaccines and were alive to have autism, that still seems better to me.
And it is even like it's all cases. It's even the best argument that is made by the anti-vaxxers, which is still not a very good one. It's this very small number of people get autism. Mm. But I can guarantee you that, you know, 100% of the people who are exposed to whooping cough and are unvaccinated,
yeah,
they suffer bad consequences.
Yeah.
And it's really getting insane. And again, where are these epidemics happening? Where are these outbreaks happening?
They're happening in Washington, in Oregon, in California. But Washington has some of the most lax anti-vax laws in the nation. And for the third year running, we're having record cases of diseases that are easily preventable because of hippies.
Yeah, this is blue state insanity.
Yeah.
We're so used to railing against red state insanity, and rightfully so.
Yeah.
When people are fighting for, you know, against anti-bullying laws because it's, you know, because Jesus, I have the right to pick on the gay kid.
Right.
Or when they fight against evolution, or they fight against climate change or anything, you know, people jump on them, and it's amazing how you can take these people with terrible views and marginalize them and try to take away their power. Of course, they still keep getting reelected to the Oklahoma school board or wherever, but we're going into these parts of the country where we're the folks that are so used to looking down our nose
right
at those other states and saying, oh, well, you folks don't believe in science and blah blah blah, yet we are not immune to that. And I think that we have gotten so smug in that we are right that we just simply assume that anything we... I'm speaking about the royal we. You know, the editorial. I'm talking about...
You're talking about the people who live in states like California and Oregon and Washington.
Yeah.
Talking like about ours. People in states like Florida and Oklahoma and Tennessee. And Florida and Oklahoma, we spend a lot of time talking about.
Yeah, and I'm talking this as a self-described liberal. I look at other liberals, and it depresses me.
Yeah.
It depresses me that I see people who, on one hand, trust the scientific consensus worldwide, not just of evil corporations, but worldwide, yet they say it's a conspiracy when it says something they don't like.
Yeah, stories like this prove that bad science is not a political motivation. Like, you can't choose one political side and say, you guys don't believe in science, because it's all over. And you were saying in the pre-show, it's like, if this proves that there are people who believe the right thing about global warming, believe the right thing about creationism, but probably believe it for bad reasons.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because clearly they don't they're not following scientific consensus, because when it comes to scientific consensus, you can't get much better than vaccines save lives.
It scares the hell out of me.
But we had a sort of a historical look on this before about, you know, you were talking about ignorance and how this is fueled by it, but maybe not in ways that people think.
Yeah, and I think what it is people are very, it's very easy, and let's admit, it's very easy to believe something if it fits into your preconceived ideology.
Yeah.
And what we have here is the idea that, ooh, evil chemical corporate stuff, bad, and natural good, and it's sort of this hippie ideology, and you forget that, yeah, before the time when we had all this wonderful technology, people used to die in their
30s. Yeah, yeah. And even when we had a lot of this technology, we can talk about the flu of 1918.
Yeah, and we can talk about things that we've done medically that have had bad side effects, but you know what happens? We find out about it, we get rid of them. They're talking about things that might be bad, and yeah, they're using this argument from ignorance where they don't know what is in that thing, or they don't know what the outcome could be, or they don't know what this chemical or that chemical
is. That's the basis of the whole argument. We don't know, so it's scary.
Yeah.
Rather than we don't know, so let's find out. It's we don't know, so we reject it.
They fall back on, you know, and Frankenstein, Soylent Green
that's,
type arguments.
I think really it's really important here to just to really sting it, because I think this is a very good point that you make, that a lot of what could be driving this is historical ignorance, because they don't realize that these diseases killed millions of people.
Yes.
It's too far back in their history for them to remember. And I think that it gets weird. Like, we were talking about zombie movies beforehand. I kind of think a lot of people in the zombie fandom are the same way. Is they don't recognize that this stuff is really scary. I don't want to compare anti-vaxxers to zombie people, but I think
anti-vaxxers are zombie people.
Okay.
I mean, not in the sense of zombie fans.
Oh, okay.
I'm saying that I see that they react to an emotion.
Yeah.
And they react to instinct that this is bad. I don't understand it. Therefore, scary. Rather than I don't understand that. Therefore, I'm curious.
Oh, can we get Dawn of the Dead movie, but it's anti-vaxxers instead of zombies? I would watch that. I would pay $10 and go to the theater.
But the one thing I see in common between people who have misdirected fandom for zombie things and think that this post-civilization world is somehow an aspirational goal, that
yeah,
I want to live in a world without these things like police and vaccines, they forget that people used to die and die
exactly,
very young, and that you don't want to live in that world. I'd rather live in a world where we have things like indoor plumbing and I'm not dying because of things that I'm exposed to. We don't respect this stuff anymore.
Yeah.
Because we're so used to seeing fictionalized versions of the past that we forget.
And all of those fictionalized versions of the past ignore the wider consequences. They're all very small frame stories with very small groups of people, except for maybe World War Z, but World War Z kind of glorifies it a little bit. I think even World War Z kind of ignores, like, you got the furries, I got the zombie people.
I think the difference between zombie apocalypse fans and anti-vaxxers is that when you really get down to it, zombie apocalypse fans know that it's just fantasy, that zombies aren't actually a real thing.
Yes, that is true.
So, and anti-vaxxers, they have this emotional argument, they're scared to death, but they're ignoring the fact that science is there to stop us from fooling ourselves. That's the purpose.
But that's the stuff, is they're not interested in science. And that's why you have
the anti-vaxxers.
The anti-vaxxers.
Yeah.
They're not interested in those arguments, because you see the arguments that they do use when a scientist comes in, somebody who's actually done this research and done this work and said, these are the things that vaccines can prevent, and here's where your arguments actually don't gel with the facts. The response from the Jenny McCarthys of the world is, but I'm a mom, and
yeah,
you aren't there. You aren't there in the trenches with my 5-year-old trying to get them into the minivan, and you don't understand. I know in my heart that this is the problem. And it's like, that's not how scientists do things.
The Daily Show did this whole piece on anti-vaxxers and sort of suburban liberal upper class families who are anti-vaxxers and everything. And there was this part where this woman who runs a blog about anti-vaxxers, and she literally says, there is nothing you can show me that will convince me that vaccines are good for me.
Yeah.
And science.
When she said that, all I could think of was Ken Ham sitting in front of Bill Nye saying, there is nothing you can say to convince me that God doesn't exist.
What it comes down to is what it always comes down to. If you're anti-vaccine, your ignorance and the ignorance that you share with other anti-vaccine people has led directly to dead people.
To death.
Your your little group of people who think who just turn your back on science, turn your back on all the medical things. I'm totally you peopling you guys. Death toll. You've got one. Congratulations.
It's
moving on, though. I really want to get to this story. Mike Adams, the so-called health rager of the pseudoscience conspiracy site Natural News, is threatening to sue Forbes magazine after writer John Entine wrote an unfavorable profile of him in which he accurately reported Adams' public views. Adams is a 9/11 truther. He promotes dubious natural health cures. He is an AIDS denialist. He charges that Bill Gates' nonprofit is trying to create a weaponized virus. And he claims that the Sandy Hook and Aurora shootings were orchestrated by the U.S. government. Adams has demanded that Forbes immediately retract all content on their site about him or Natural News, agree never to write about him or Natural News ever again, publicly apologize to him, and compensate him $3,000 for legal fees.
So, talking about one of the people who is responsible for the pertussis epidemic,
yeah,
it's people like this, people like Mike Adams. Mike Adams is a lunatic.
Right.
Mike Adams is a guy who regularly posts completely debunked science, but wants the respect afforded to somebody who's actually done the work, gotten the education, and does the research. He wants to be respected as a scientist, but he wants to be scrutinized as if he's an artist. That it's all right. About, but he cares, and he does science in his garage, and he doesn't understand. He went to the University of YouTube. He doesn't understand this stuff, and he regularly goes off on rants. Everything that John Entine said about him is true, and actually, after Forbes magazine pulled the article,
yeah,
the original version of it still exists on John Entine's website, and he went to bat for his own article and said, no, what I said is not libel. It is true. And here is 28 pages in PDF form of the research that I did. And it's amazing when you just skim this thing that we are just looking at the tip of the iceberg that's popping out of the water. There is so many years worth of crazy. Any event that involves death, any celebrity health thing of all, like he went off on Angelina Jolie having the double mastectomy.
Yeah.
Anytime a celebrity has their child die of cancer, anytime anything happens, he's there to jump on that just immediate exploitative bandwagon to say, oh, if they'd only bought my supplement available on my website. You know, this could have been prevented.
So this guy is really, but he jumps on that stuff for conspiracy purposes, but it's to sell products.
Yeah. Oh.
Yeah.
He is crazy.
Yeah, and there was Becca, friend of the show, was showing me a response that Adam said about this whole thing coming out, and someone came to him and says, dude, why are you challenging him? You know, this isn't libel. And his response, I don't have the quote in front of me, but it was something to the effect of, I've been looking for scientists who know the truth like I do, and they're hard to find because most scientists are filled with hate and vitriol towards the truth. Well, basically what he's saying is, like, I can't find scientists who agree with me. Well, of course, this is the whole problem. But he doesn't see that as a problem. He sees that problem with all of science.
It's just a continuing expression of what seems to be a horrible anti-intellectualism we have here in the States. I mean, it is this huge population of people that fits no clear ideological or class divide. It seems to be its own population who thinks that everything anybody has ever in authority, anything anyone has ever been told, is a lie.
Yeah.
So turn your back on everything, go into the woods and shove bark where the sun don't shine to cure whatever.
Yeah. That's another thing that he keeps putting up on not only his Facebook page and his site is natural cancer cures.
Yeah.
Which, oh my God, you know how unethical that is. That there is somebody out there that is dying and is desperate. And because of this garbage from this monster, they are going to stop taking treatments that have been proven to at least slow down or treat the cancer. And they are instead going to take magic beans from this huckster.
Yeah.
And they are going to die that much faster and in much more
pain.
And
here's the thing. If it worked, if these natural cancer cures worked, wouldn't they be getting wouldn't they have a lot more success stories? Wouldn't it be really obvious that this stuff is working and chemotherapy is not? Wouldn't you have a folder 5 inches thick of people who have been cured of melanomas, of pancreatic cancer, of ovarian cancer, and saying, look, these are all the people we've cured. Instead, once again, it's a list of corpses.
Yeah, and it's a simple thing. If alternative medicine actually worked, they'd just call it medicine. Like, there wouldn't need to be an alternative.
But this is the same conspiracy stuff. And again, corporations do ugly things. Corporations do good things. Corporations do all sorts of things. But you know what? Just because they do an ugly thing once doesn't mean they're the Umbrella Foundation from Resident Evil. And I think this is the mindset that people get into. Even corporations that have a terrible track record on things like human rights or the environment or whatever aren't intentionally twisting their mustache looking for ways to hurt people so they can gleefully laugh and going, this isn't Captain Freaking Planet where the bad guys, it's like, what does Sly Sledge's corporation do? It pollutes. It doesn't create a product, it just dumps crap in the river. And it's amazing how cartoonishly evil some of these people assume the people on the other end of this board are, saying, yeah, they sell a product. Yeah, they sell a product. But you know what? If that was way cheaper than the thing that they made, if just, you know, pot oil or any of this stuff, if some canola oil cured your cancer, they would sell it because that's way cheaper than the stuff that they have to make.
Yeah, it is.
That is so much better for their profit margins.
And that's, it is way cheaper to grow plants that cure diseases than to have all of these really expensive treatments, which is why people are doing research on exactly that thing with genetically modified organisms. Ha ha ha, I'm wrapping it all in. But
you're just a shill.
I am just a shill. Yeah, I'm Monsanto. I'm waiting for my check. Yeah, it's absolutely ridiculous. I really like human civilization. I really, you know, bad stuff, like I said, baby steps, but I really like the science stuff, though. We're good at the science thing.
Yeah.
Maybe not good at being good to each other. Maybe not so good at not doing the genocide thing, but we seem to get science a lot.
Stop
time.
Pretending that experts are all liars that are in the pocket of something.
Yeah, it's like this guy, the food babe lady you'd like to talk about sometime.
Dr. Oz. My God, what a charlatan.
This is the 18th century snake oil thing all over again.
Except we don't have the good decency to chase these people off with like a board with a nail in it the way we used to. We don't even get angry anymore.
Fair point. This is Ask an Atheist, 206-420-0997. I'm good with numbers, I promise. I have a degree in being good with numbers. We're going to continue this news train when we come back.
Psst. Hey, I know that we all slip up sometimes, but not knowing your STD status at all, not a smart move. Did you know that STDs can even be transmitted through oral sex alone? Yeah, worried yet? With stdhometestkit.com, everything you need is shipped to you, where you'll have results in the comfort of your own home in less than 10 minutes. Be certain of your status with stdhometestkit.com.
Looking to buy or sell a home or other property in Edmonton, Alberta, or surrounding areas? Demand a professional and call Don Summers of Professional Realty Group at 780-237-4718 or visit dndrealty.ca and discover how he works with you to achieve your goals, save you time, and protect your investment. Don Summers of Professional Realty Group. It's time you hired a professional.
So, picking you up at 8 tonight?
Sure.
How do I get to your place again?
Get off the freeway, turn left at the burger joint, past the Humanist Center, right at the...
What? Humanist Center?
Yeah, you know, the place where freethinkers have their meetings, hold events, access the resource library, drop their kids off for daycare.
This could be you and your friends in the near future. Contribute to the Humanists of Washington Humanist Center Fund to establish a physical home for freethinkers in the Puget Sound. Go to humanistsofwashington.org and contribute today. That's humanistsofwashington.org.
If you are a humanist, atheist, or freethinker from Everett, Washington to the Canadian border, Humanists of North Puget Sound welcomes you. Your freethought neighbors to the north have been promoting secular ideas for over 20 years. They're humanists with a rational worldview informed by science, inspired by art, and motivated by compassion. Join up for monthly conversation, camaraderie, and activism. Humanists of North Puget Sound. Visit humanistsnps.org.
Need a break from the theistic world?
Live in the Seattle area?
Like the Flying Spaghetti Monster?
Whether you're an ardent non-believer, steadfast agnostic, or marauding Pastafarian, check out the award-winning nonprofit organization Seattle Atheists.
Socialize at the Third Thursday Meetup, attend lectures, come camping, donate blood.
Connect at seattleatheists.org.
Seattle Atheists, we believe in you.
You can advertise on Ask an Atheist on the radio, on our website, and in our podcast. People just like you who have the same interests are listening right now, just like you are, and thousands will download this podcast and listen to it later. If you have a product, service, or idea to sell, people here in the Pacific Northwest and people around the world, thousands will hear your message. Let us help you sell your product, service, or idea. Contact us at advertising@askanatheist.tv. That's advertising@askanatheist.tv.
So you're on your Monday morning drive, and someone on Ask an Atheist says something that really, really gets your goat. You want to talk, you want to yell, you want to scream, and clicking the shiny red candy-like button just isn't good enough. Good! Call us! Leave us a message! Call Ask an Atheist at 206-420-0997 and vent your spleen now and for the future! That's 206-420-0997 and wait for the tone.
Welcome back! This is Ask an Atheist, 206-420-0997. And I'll just keep this pot up a little bit to help earworm you again. Because this one seems to earworm everyone.
The 8-bit one's my favorite. You know, props to Paul for that one. That was that just makes my heart happy.
So we have some people we should thank this week. We have Rick from Elma, Washington. Richard from Kent. Not your neighbor, but the other Kent. Marco from Presidente Prudente, Brazil. Wow, isn't that where the Prudent President? Yes, the Prudent President. Isn't that where all the soccer stuff
Brazil
is happening?
Is where the World Cup is. I don't know where Presidente Prudente is.
Where the Super Soccer Bowl or whatever. And Ronnie from Denmark. Thank you guys very much. If you'd like to help keep the lights on for Ask an Atheist, you can go to askanatheist.tv, click on the yellow candy-like button, and it'll go right to our PayPal page. Every dollar you give goes directly to show production. One more quick announcement. We're going to be at a different place today. We're going to Magoo's up on North 21st in Tacoma. And this may be the last time we mention where our post show is on the air. Because, as you guys know, we are now on multiple radio stations. KLAY here in Tacoma, but KOWA in Olympia and WPRR in Grand Rapids. So it wouldn't make a lot of sense to talk about what we're doing here in Tacoma when a good chunk of our listenership isn't here anymore. So, I mean, it's good for us. We're growing, right?
Yeah, that's
awesome.
We love it. But there will be at least one more, because when we do a live show in Olympia and with a post show there, we're going to announce
Do, like, events, we're still going to announce events, of course. Yeah, you know, it's like every talk show host is a comedian, and they always talk about their next tour dates.
What I'm trying to say is, Olympia, we are coming.
But if you'd like to keep up, we're not going to end post show. We're going to stop talking about it on the show. If you'd like to keep up on it, you can go to the Humanists of Washington Secular South Sound meetup page. There's a link to it on our website, and it'll take you right to where you can join up, and then you'll get emailed on where you go, and my friends can stop Facebooking me in the middle of the show or sending me text messages, which I don't get because I don't have a phone. Anyway, oh boy, back to the news. Myanmar President Thein Sein has directed Parliament to write legislation criminalizing interfaith marriages. The proposed legislation, which is being pushed by the nationalist Buddhist monks, is primarily aimed at the nation's Islamic minority. Muslims have faced violence in Myanmar over recent years, leading to over 200 deaths and thousands of displaced people.
Yeah, we say this every single time a story like this comes up, but it bears repeating because it hasn't sunk in. Religion is nasty.
Yeah.
And that Buddhism is often held up by, especially liberals, as the good exception, one of the good ones.
Yeah.
That it's not as offensive or horrible, and that you don't have the human rights abuses or the sexism. No.
Right.
And in fact, there's been a lot of anti-Muslim violence that has come out in places like Myanmar. And It's insane that this stuff is happening. The Buddhists are just as capable of being mobs of thugs with weapons, threatening people and pushing for theocratic legislation.
Everybody likes to look at Zen Buddhism, Buddhism, like it's Zen Christianity in the Hyperion novels. Like it's mm-hmm. it's this religion for rich people who just want
to
go to Sonoma and check out for a little while.
It's not a bunch of Richard Gears.
It's this too. It's they want to have a Buddhist government. They want to have a Buddhist, you know, they want it to be their country to be managed by this religion. They want this religion to rule over everything. And it gets in their way. It gets in their way when people who don't believe in your dogma, who might have other dogma, have a place, are talking to people who believe in this dogma. They don't want transitions. They don't want change. They want to stay in control. So in order to keep control over your head, they're going to prevent you from dealing with people that you know, loving people you want to love. Well, sounds familiar?
Yeah. Well, and the thing that I found amazing about this story is that when you look at sort of Islam, you know, on one hand, in Syria, they are telling a woman who was married to a Christian who was raised Christian that she's not a Christian and she deserves death as an apostate for marrying who she loves. And then over here, they're being persecuted and not allowed to get married to who they love. Like
Sudan, not Syria.
Sudan, right. Sorry. And so you know, you have Islam.
It's probably happening in Syria too, though.
Yeah.
But you have Islam being both the victim and this
victimizer
in this situation in different parts of the world.
And I'm also getting a message that Presidente Prudente is in the Sao Paulo province.
Oh, so yeah. there is actually World Cup very close to there.
Yes.
Hey.
And we're getting attention. That's neat.
But yeah, it's the same mindset that it's this idea that you are branding people in this little box and that box determines everything about you, even whether you're a good person or not.
Right.
Whether, you know, where you're going to go after death and whether you should even associate with someone. And it's amazing how quickly this stuff breaks down into this tribalistic, violent nonsense.
Yeah.
Especially when some of that tribalistic, tribal nonsense is written into the scripture. And I think it's a bit harder to pull this stuff out of Buddhism than it is to pull out of the Abrahamic religions, Christianity, Judaism, Islam, but it's not impossible, clearly.
Right.
Yeah.
It's there. And again, you have that same tribalistic nonsense that we own this country. We get to decide what happens where, and we don't want you polluting us. That mindset you see everywhere. In Saudi Arabia, you're not allowed to build a church or have anything else. To even air a view in many countries, it's illegal, and that's exactly the sort of thing I could see the nationalist Buddhist doing.
If I can quote a famous Tacoman, when religion and politics ride in the same cart, the whirlwind follows.
Yeah.
That's Frank Herbert in Dune, my favorite novel, but it's absolutely true. When every time it doesn't matter the religion, it could be the brony religion. If it gets a hold of a government, it's going to turn into something terrible.
Yeah.
This
is why we fight for separation of church and state, why it's so important.
I cannot think of a single historical example right now that would go against that. I mean, even the Romans who...
Find us a benevolent theocracy.
Yeah.
It doesn't exist.
It's never happened. And it's not just the wrong religion that's gotten it. The Wiccans. The worst thing I can say about Wiccans, for the most part, is that they're silly.
But they've never gotten a country.
Exactly. And if they did, I mean, yeah, they can say, oh, well, we're descended from this. I don't know when Wicca came out. The advantage that Wicca has is that in its modern form, it was created in the 20th century.
Dare I mention the Wicker Man?
Yeah, the Wicker Man. Not the bees.
You see, that's not, well.
I'm saying it's impossible. What I'm saying is the more recent a religion is, like if it was built in the 20th century and the people who wrote the books and the scripture have a 20th century perspective, it's a lot harder to have things written in it like, we need to kill this entire group of people. Where if it's written in the Iron Age, that was progressive back then.
Yeah.
That's how far we've come.
But that doesn't mean that the thinking is going to be any less absurd. May I suggest you Scientology?
Oh, exactly. Scientology doesn't have the mass genocides written into it, but it's still full of absurdity. Absurdity is timeless.
All of the mass genocides happened earlier back on your time track.
Yeah, we're talking about a trillion years ago before the world existed, and you had to have alien dictators in the mythology. So yeah, the absurdity is still there. Wicca is absurd. Scientology is absurd. What they don't have is a foothold. in a government.
Would it be impossible to suggest that were Scientology to somehow find its own government to take over, that things would go really bad for anyone who's studied psychology?
Yeah.
Like, I could see deaths for that.
In fact, the Citizens Commission on Human Rights, a Scientology front group, was on a local news station this week, and they never mentioned their Scientology connections, but yeah. they were quite willing to blame school shootings on drugs.
Yeah. Yeah.
On, you know, and just completely anti-science.
Actually, that's probably the natural news bringing right. back one back. It's likely to do too, is that they're blaming things on, oh well, they took Big Pharma's drugs. Those are clearly mind control things, and they shouldn't have taken these natural supplements, and they wouldn't be shooting people if they shot them at all, because that's a big conspiracy too.
Now, there's a conversation that we need to have here. Is Wicca is, you said Wicca is absurd. I agree. Mm-hmm. I'm in a position to agree on that one.
But again, the worst Wiccan I've ever met yeah. is just absurd.
But here's
the worst Christian or the worst Muslim I've ever seen is
a lot of
like a
people
murderer.
Here are going to take offense to this and say, well, you don't respect me because blah 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 blah, because you think my religion is absurd. Wrong. If I respect you, I respect you for reasons having nothing to do with your religion. My respect for you, my love for you, the reason I want to talk to you, the reason I want to have conversations with people, the reason we go to meetups is completely orthogonal to your religion. It's not, it doesn't really matter that much to me, unless when, you know, the line is crossed when you start hurting people, of course.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
At that point, it's because you're hurting people.
And just to take from just to bounce off of what you're saying, Sam, everyone has a family member that you've gone to Thanksgiving with who has political views you find abhorrent.
Yeah.
Do you still love this person? Sure. Yeah, I love Grandpa. He still says racist stuff.
Yeah.
I mean, it's capable. We're all capable of loving and respecting other people, but really despising the things that they send you an email for words.
Yeah.
And I think that it's amazing how people are not able to grasp that when it comes the other way. It's like, yeah, I love my Aunt Sally, but I wish she wouldn't say all that homophobic, racist stuff about Obama.
Yeah.
Or, you know, it's amazing because you can have that, but the minute somebody laughs at your special little belief, I think we all have to be very cognizant of what somebody is criticizing when they criticize it. When we talk about anti-atheist bigotry on the show, we're not talking about people making fun of atheism or our views or the things that we write.
Yeah.
We're talking about people saying
that ourselves.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's not like, well, Richard Dawkins wrote this thing and philosophically, this is stupid. That's not what I'm saying. When I talk about anti-atheist bigotry on this show, what we're talking about is people saying atheists
yeah.
are this terrible thing. Atheists are incapable of feeling love and joy and happiness. And we're not saying Christians or Muslims are incapable of being good. We're saying this book that you guys think is so great really sucks, says some cruel things, is bigoted, and is undeserving of you. You are way better than that.
Yeah, it's absolutely is. But you bring it up, the, you know, people say atheists this, atheists that. A new poll by the Pew Research Center shows that almost half of Americans would be unhappy if a family member married an atheist. According to the poll, more people responded to unfavorably to atheists by 49% than to any other category, including gun owners, 19%, someone of a different race, 11%, and born-again Christians, 9%.
Yeah.
Yeah, it just sums it up. It's like, you know, atheists are seen as people, like, you know, I can't imagine my sister getting married to someone and I'm just finding out something that they believe and deciding they're a terrible person because of that, like, without talking to them.
I absolutely recognize that what I do is inherently silly. There's a silliness to being an atheist activist, because I'm basically going out there to say not this, not this, not this. I mean, it's for a good reason, but it gets a little silly sometimes. The atheism movement has tons of silly. Just check out YouTube. You'll get it in spades.
Yes.
But I embrace that silliness. But this is full circle for me. This is why I got into this. In 2006, you know, 8 years ago now, there was a study that suggested that atheists were the most hated minority. And I was surprised by two things in that article. One, that atheists were considered a minority. That was new. And two, that we were hated.
Yeah.
Like, I knew they didn't like us, and I knew people use secular humanist as a curse word sometimes, but it never occurred to me that the hate was real. And then I actually kind of got out there in the world and stuff like that, and it's like, yeah, that's actually true. So I started being it was a story like, this is interesting to me, because this is a story that got me on this path. I would not be speaking into this microphone right now were it not for studies like these.
Yeah.
And very little has changed, apparently.
That's the thing that really gets me when I do this, because I say this over and over again, but I think it needs to be repeated.
Yeah.
We're not being dragged behind pickup trucks. We're not being barred from using a lunch counter. We're not having to, you know, bullying on that same degree, but it's much more widespread. It's much more vague, and it's honestly much more diverse, the number of people who dislike us.
It's acceptable. Yeah. It's not seen, you know, hating on atheists is not seen as doing something wrong.
I have these really dark moments, and maybe you guys can help me out with this, where it just seems like in order for people to function, they have to have a group of people they hate. It just really feels that way sometimes. And I don't have facts to back this up. This is an emotional argument that I have sometimes. It just seems like people need something to hate, and no, I don't get it.
I'm not prepared to go there.
Humans are tribalistic by nature, absolutely. It's always us and them.
I don't think it would... just because it is that way, or it naturally works out that way, because most sexuality is rape. When you look at the world of nature, animals, and really, I'm sure this was the way with humans.
Threw me for a loop for a moment.
Oh, and I'm just saying, hundreds of thousands of years, I'm sure this was true of humans as well. But as a society, we said, you know what? Rape kind of sucks.
Yeah.
Let's actually stigmatize this. And we can argue how good we've been at that on another show.
Yeah.
But the fact is, just because something naturally works out a way doesn't mean a society has to be built on that. Yeah. I mean, the theory of evolution, you know, the biology is built on death. That doesn't mean we have to build our society on, like, social Darwinist principles.
Right.
Where it's like, well, if you're just too weak, I'm sorry, you've got crutches, get up the stairs, guess you lose your job.
Yeah.
I mean, that's not the way this stuff works. Well, we have a certain amount of empathy in saying, you know what, that guy deserves to have a ramp too.
Here's an interesting thing is, you know, the evolution came, you know, people started talking about evolution as a scientific theory, and then some people said, you know, oh, survival of the fittest, we're going to use this to justify our case, you know, the British case system and stuff like that.
And we still hear that, like, when I hear William Lane Craig talking about evolutionists, he makes the connection that because, you know, natural selection is sort of this brutal system, means that we believe that's the way it should be. And nobody believes that. Just because that's how evolution happened, that got us to this point, doesn't mean we've decided that would make a good society.
But getting it back to my main point...
We have a call, though. It's Becca, who wants to talk about the pew poll. Are you there?
Can you hear me?
Yes, we can. How are you doing? Hi.
Doing well. How are you?
Not too bad.
Okay, so I had kind of a question, comment. I was thinking about why it might be that atheists are so not trusted, and whenever I would, something that I came up with, and I'd like to hear your guys' opinion on it, is I feel like we tend to, as a group, be a little honest with ourselves about ourselves. Like, whenever you have a Christian group, people look at the Christian next to them and they think that it's meaningful that they're a Christian. They say, oh, I trust this human being because they're a Christian. But really, they don't know the person next to them. They have no idea. It could be some psycho. But we tend to say, you know what? I'm an atheist. That guy is an atheist. That really doesn't mean anything other than the fact that he doesn't believe in God. The rest is all wild card. You know, I'm not going to vouch for that guy because I don't know him.
Right.
And I feel like because Christians have this kind of in-group, well, Christian means something, then they tend to think as though they can think things about the person next to them. But we tend to actually say often that we don't really know, the atheist next door.
I could totally see that. The idea that sort of Christians start with a baseline level of trustworthy, and then you need to do something to lose that trust before someone might challenge that. Whereas in atheists, there isn't that baseline level of trust, and so you have something to overcome from the beginning.
Well, they've made the word Christian mean synonymous with good and moral.
Yeah.
they've claimed that for themselves. And I think,
yeah, I'm not certain that trusting somebody right out the gate is a good idea.
No, never. And I think we've learned this with the epidemic of pedophile priests. The idea that just because somebody has this holy status, that we is a stranger that we can just trust our children with sight unseen. This is still a stranger.
Well, exactly. Just because we're honest with ourselves that we don't know strangers doesn't mean that we're terrifying. And I feel like maybe we're seen as though we don't trust each other, when really right. We just don't trust anybody, and you shouldn't, you know?
Well, I think trust is something that's earned.
Yeah, I think it's a really good point, Becca. Thanks for calling. I think one of the things that religion does get is the opportunity to meet other people over this context and learn to trust. And that's something that both Becca and I are interested in building. You know, that's why we're doing the Humanist Center is those opportunities. You know, we say we don't trust other atheists when we meet them because we have no social fabric. We need to create that social fabric so we can meet these people and we can say, yeah, I kind of trust that guy.
So the question then comes, how do you build that social fabric without building the inherent sort of disadvantages of, you know, people think priest equals trustworthy and allows people to take advantage of that?
Religious community isn't the only sort of community that exists.
Yeah.
And I think that trust has to be earned, that you're going to be there and you go to a new community with a friend.
Yeah.
So there's one person at a party that you know, and you hang around that person, and through that person you meet other people. And that other person knows people, and you can sort of trust this person that you already know about
that,
other people.
But that requires an in. And if you're new to a town, or you don't know anybody, or you need to get away from a certain population of people, that's where these humanist centers really come into play, I think. Is, you know, I've been here like 7 years now, but I remember, it doesn't feel that way, because like for the first year and a half, I was essentially by myself. I didn't really know anybody.
But
this is Ask an Atheist, 206-420-0997. We're going to go to a break. When we come back, take some emails.
The Humanists of Washington is the oldest humanist organization in the state and offers a community of freethinkers who educate the public and celebrate life. Come celebrate life with us. Humanists support intellectual freedom and critical thinking and hold that human beings are autonomous centers of moral development. You can become a member of the Humanists of Washington at humanistsofwashington.org. You'll get our quarterly publication, The Secular Humanist Press. Check out meetup.com, where you can be part of our monthly Seattle dinner and our Heathens Do It Better breakfast. Humanists of Washington.
Billy!
Not again!
Billy, I'm a certified ghost expert!
Wow, that's so credible!
Billy, your great-great-grandmother says she loves you, and to give me your lunch money!
Aw, anything for family! Here you go!
Wait, Billy! Extraordinary claims require extraordinary evidence! Come to Camp Quest Northwest, where you'll learn critical thinking and science in a fun-filled, week-long nature camp.
No!
Camp Quest Northwest can be found at campquestnorthwest.org. Donations and volunteers accepted. The devil is not real.
I know.
I'm Mike Gillis.
And I'm Casey Doran.
And we host a podcast called Radio Versus the Martians. We invite a rotating panel of our friends over to talk about science fiction, comic books, movies, horror, animation, professional wrestling, video games, and George freaking Lucas.
It's a warts and all look at popular geek culture, where we tip sacred cows and use profanity while arguing about children's entertainment.
Think of it as the McLaughlin Group for nerds.
Find us online at Radio Versus the Martians.
Tacoma Telematics wants to help you connect with your clients. We can give you a top-notch web presence. Tacoma Telematics can take your website to the next level and make it an essential part of your business marketing, but that's not all. Want VoIP? We've got it, bringing large corporation phone systems capability at mom-and-pop prices. We build intuitive interfaces to help you manage your resources quickly and efficiently. Take advantage of our holistic approach to make your business communications succeed effortlessly. At Tacoma Telematics, we're committed to personal and professional integrity, open communication, and long-term relationships. See us at TacomaTelematics.com.
If you enjoy the programming we create on Ask an Atheist, please make a contribution with us. Your sponsorship keeps our show in the air and improves the quality of our broadcasts. Don't make us beg. Please go to AskAnAtheist.tv and contribute today. Ask an Atheist may have gone on the road, but we're not making big bucks.
We still need to keep the lights on, and 95% of our costs are for airtime alone.
That's why we need your contributions.
If you've got something to advertise, consider Ask an Atheist in your ad budget.
Our listener Peggy said it best. Step up and contribute to keep secular voices on the air. For $5, you could have a latte or a moment of science.
Take on Peggy's challenge and contribute today.
For details, go to askanatheist.tv or contribute directly via PayPal to paypal@askanatheist.tv.
Welcome back. This is Ask an Atheist, 206-420-0997. And we've got an email right now. And I suspect he started it without just because he wants to see how I pronounce this. This is Luca from Australia, who writes, "G'day, guys. Great show. I've been an atheist for 30-plus years, but my parents are Catholic, and we've sporadically debated religion for most of that time. At the end of the day, we're still family, and we love and respect each other. My father loves history and is trained in engineering, where facts are paramount. Both of us love to learn. A week ago, we were discussing the inconsistency of the Bible when he said, 'Why are you forcing us to believe what you want us to believe?' I replied that I wasn't forcing him to believe anything, but in order to make an informed decision on what to believe, you need to have all the facts, even the stuff you don't want to hear. My father said he didn't care about facts. We are Catholics, and there's nothing you can say that will change that. So the man who I thought highly valued knowledge completely abandons it just to accept an obviously man-made fable. Should I pity him, get angry, be ashamed for pushing the subject so hard? Did you guys have any similar stories or advice?" Mike, you've encountered this a few times.
Well, I don't think it's anything new that somebody can compartmentalize their thinking, and I think religion is honestly usually treated in a very different way than most of the other things that we believe, that you can have somebody who, aside from this one topic, is by all accounts a skeptic, is a rationalist, who would laugh at supernatural claims unless they came from that box. And then suddenly people get very defensive. And I think it's interesting that he uses that argument of, why are you trying to force that on me? It's not like he's grabbing him and throwing him into a room and blasting Richard Dawkins lectures over a loudspeaker. He's just having a conversation with him. And I think what's interesting is that this is part of that blowback to us.
Yeah.
Part of that dislike, why people don't like us and where a lot of the bigotry comes from. And this goes even into liberal circles, what we call NPR ecumenicalism, which is that, why can't you just leave people alone? Why are you forcing that? When you're really just doing is throwing your views into a conversation. This is a soup of what everyone believes. I'm allowed to respond to what people say as if I'm taking somebody's right to freedom of religion away.
Yeah.
If I respond to it, not by forcing them, but by questioning or having a conversation.
Well, I think he clearly tried that, but what would you try?
Well, I actually did have a similar situation to this last Christmas, and I was talking to my mom, and my mom, she's Episcopalian, and she's gone through this 4-year intensive study of the Bible. She, you know, digging into all the bad stuff, all the good stuff, sort of, you know, dissecting and understanding context and everything, like an incredibly intense study of what the Bible says. And so there's a lot of things where she's like, well, yeah, I'm not sure I'm comfortable with this, and I definitely don't agree with this, but I do agree with that. And I basically wanted to challenge her and say, okay, so if there are parts of the Bible that you can say this isn't the truth, then why should you accept any of it? And she just goes, faith. And I'm like, so you're shutting out down conversation, and you're shutting down thinking with one word.
So what did what was your resolution to that?
I moved on to another conversation.
Moved on to it. Yeah, like, sometimes that's really all you got to. Sometimes, you know, you just move on. If they're good people and they're not impugning on your belief, and they're not and you know, they're not saying that, oh, for example, vaccines are bad or anything like that. Mm-hmm. Sometimes just move on.
Yeah.
But part of it is they are told, and in, you know, they are told to believe it without facts. And it's explicitly told in the Bible. I believe it says, you know, you have to come to Jesus like as a child, or however they say.
Reason is the enemy of faith.
Yeah, that's they're specifically telling you that the programming, the catechism, the dogma, what you are supposed to do is abandon thinking and come into the faith.
Yeah.
And that's and so when you try to challenge that, they're going to look at you first like you just don't get it. Mm-hmm. You know, and but the problem is a lot of atheists do get it because they were there or they've seen it, and they think that that whole concept has some problems.
Well, I think the only thing you really can do is, like I mentioned, is the idea that any response mentioned that you're not trying to force anything and that you are sharing your beliefs just as he shares his. It's funny because there's a double standard really written in here that I don't think a lot of people realize. This is the same thing with bigotry against atheists, is that people will often say things that are crazy or mean, and they don't even realize what they're saying is mean. And I think just continuing a conversation is the only way to do it. I think just saying, well, I'm just sharing what I feel the same way you share what you feel.
Yeah.
And saying, but the idea that, oh, I'm just sharing my love of Jesus, that's why it's okay for me to proselytize, but you're taking rights away by sharing yours.
Yeah.
I think that double standard is maybe the way to point it out. Just say, I'm just sharing the way you are.
Well, I think you got to be careful, because if you point out, if the first thing you do is point out that you have a double standard, or if along the way you point out that somebody has a double standard and you say the word double standard,
oh, don't use
people it. Are going to shut down. And yeah, you got to be careful for that. Is sure. You have to have, you have to keep the line open. I know you know.
Oh,
that.
Yeah. This, yeah. I'm do it way more delicately than what I'm saying. I'm just explaining what I think. This is what's happening here. Mm-hmm. But I'd say, well, you're not forcing anything on me when you mention your views.
Yeah.
It's only forcing is forcing. Forcing is like, I'm going to clunk you on the head, throw a sack over you, and throw you in a church where this guy's going to forcibly preach at you. Just say, I'm just having a conversation with you.
But I think there's another aspect to this where he does feel challenged. His father does feel challenged, because it says in this email that his father loves history and is trained in engineering, where facts are paramount. He's already got that kind of brain. You know, he's already thinking about that. And so what you're probably telling your dad, Luca, he probably already knows, and he's probably compartmentalizing it, and you're going right up against his cognitive dissonance. You're going right up against the walls he has shored up himself so that he can continue to be a good engineer, a lover of history, and a good Catholic. And there is no way, when you go up against somebody's cognitive dissonance, they are not going to feel attacked.
Yeah,
so I would say here, a slow hand is paramount. Keep the line open, keep communicating, keep talking about it, but don't hammer.
Yeah,
you know, I mean, what you, I think what you suggested, it's like, I'm just telling you what I think. You don't, I'm not asking you to challenge it, but you tell me what you think, I tell you what I think, we're sharing, we're learning, we're growing. That's a great way to start.
Yeah, this is a this is a conversation.
Yeah.
And I'm sharing how I feel about that, and this is why I don't believe as you do, and I want you to respond to me. I don't want you to shut down. I want you to tell me what you, you know, just keep it a two-way street. And I think that things like saying, you know, you're forcing it on me, but I'm allowed to say that, that's a one-way street. I want this to go both ways, because I think we can both benefit from this conversation.
Yeah. And and you got to maybe even say, I respect and love you, and I understand that you are a Catholic. That is a part of your identity. And so that comes as part of it. But that doesn't mean I can't talk about what moves me. I can't talk about what's helped me make my decision.
But there's another question here too, which is, what's the goal of this conversation that you're having, Luca?
That's true.
If you are trying to make your dad into an atheist, I'd say stop trying.
Yeah.
Just have the conversation. The fact that it's, I guess that little box that we talk about, that little box where everything, the rules are different for that part of your brain when you talk about Catholicism, that's like a sore tooth.
Mm-hmm.
And you don't have to touch a sore tooth very hard. You don't have to hit it with a hammer to make it hurt. You just have to kind of glance it a little bit.
Yeah.
And I'd say do very soft motions, because what seems like a small thing to you is a big thing to him. And changing anybody's mind, or anybody's mind being changed, is not going to happen from you. It's going to happen internally with him. And really what needs to sort of happen is he actually needs to think about the things that he believes, and have a little bit of hole get poked in that little box. And that's how you have that sort of conversation. And if he can start speaking critically about things in that box,
yeah,
I'd say that's the win. Not making him an atheist is a win, but having it where, you know, he can speak honestly about things that make him uncomfortable. And I'd say that's a goal for you too.
I don't like converting people. It's never my intention to convert people to atheism, where I'm not evangelical.
Oh, me neither.
People, and here's the thing, is when you talk to somebody, I don't like the idea of when I'm changing somebody's mind. It's not me changing their mind. I am not changing their mind. I'm helping them make whatever decision they're going to make when I'm trying to be persuasive. And that's the direction I go in. I'm not trying to be persuasive about atheism. I just want to have that conversation. So I'm actually a little less polite then, because I'm just telling you what I think. We do have one high note. We're coming up against the end of the show, and I did want to say something good here today. Ron Reagan, son of former President Ronald Reagan, was featured in an ad by the Freedom From Religion Foundation that aired during the series finale of Cosmos. The ad objects to the growing intrusion of religion in government and finishes with Reagan describing himself as a lifelong atheist, not afraid of burning in hell. The ad aired last month during episodes of The Daily Show and Colbert Report. Fantastic.
Yeah, I love the fact that we get a good voice on broadcast television. This is on Fox. This is not buried somewhere in cable. Like, we have a well-known atheist voice out there speaking reasonably. You know, he wasn't being challenging. He was saying, look, I'm uncomfortable with the way that religion is intruding on our government. That's not really the most offensive statement in the world. Now, there's going to be people who will react to it like it was, but this goes back to the old billboard thing, when someone put the word atheist on a billboard and it was somehow seen as offensive. Just the word.
Well, yeah, or picking up atheist picking up litter on the side of the road requires a cross to be spray painted.
Or the same thing that happened when the president, during an inaugural address, listed just a huge list of different religious groups and atheists were included. They pooped a brick over this thing. It was amazing how incensed people got just from us being included in a list. And I think that's, again, the sore tooth thing. It's something that we have, for decades, tried to avoid. And people say, why don't you just leave people alone? Well, we've left people alone with bad ideas, many of which do harm. Look how that's worked out.
Yeah.
I think that when you hear a bad idea, you challenge it, not with the goal of necessarily changing your dad's mind, but engaging in a conversation. And if he has a bad idea, challenge it. And don't make it the goal of changing his mind. Make it the goal of explaining yourself.
I see what you did there, Ewan.
Yeah, it's all about saying, this is how I feel. If he changes his mind, he's going to change his mind.
Yeah.
But it's not your job to do it.
Yeah, but I think this, and I'm just going to go right back to the news story. I think this is good. Do we know what the response is yet? Have we? I haven't actually looked at.
I only read one response. It was a Christian blog, and they were talking about how that Cosmos in general was very anti-theist, and he used this ad as an example of that, which I thought was silly because Cosmos does not choose what ads play during its show.
Yeah.
And that's the only thing, only reaction piece.
Well, I really like the Cosmos ad, or the people who Twitter after Cosmos saying, oh, yeah, I love what they're showing me that God has done, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. I gotta love
that. That's Atlas or Toothbox.
Okay, well, this is all the time we've got. My name is Sam. With me today was Mike and Dave. Thank you very much to Sharon. Thank you very much to Becky, call screener. You can go to our website at askanatheist.tv. Leave us a voicemail at 206-420-0997. Go to our website at askanatheist.tv. Email us at questions at askanatheist.tv. Thank you guys very much. We're going to head to Magoo's. See you next week.